first service, one of my fond memories, wasn't a fond memory at the time, but fond memory now looking back on it, this might not be a good thing that this is a fond memory. A fond memory of my mother is, of course, I grew up on the Dukes of Hazzard. Anybody grow up on the Dukes of Hazzard with me? All right. Well, then you would know well that Roscoe P. Coltrane called Enos a lot. If you don't know who these people are, I'm sorry. It's your loss. He called Enos a dipstick a whole lot. And one day, my mom did something that apparently made me mad when I was really little. I was jacked up on the Dukes of Hazzard, and I called her a dipstick. She loves to tell that story, and she loves to tell about the whipping that I got afterwards. And rightfully so. I hope you're having a good morning this morning. If you're a mom, I'm so glad that you've chose to spend this morning with us. It's going to be a special morning. We're going to be dedicating children later in the service today. But I'll be honest with you, the message today is not really just for moms. And I think that's a good thing, to be real honest with you. But there's something in the passage of Scripture that we're going to read today that is something that we see as humans in this world that was built in naturally by God in mothers. And it's a call for all of us to do something that we can see naturally in mothers. And so we're taking a look at this passage of Scripture today, and it's in the book of 1 Thessalonians. If you've got a Bible with you, you can get that out and just kind of hold that place. But let me give you a little background on this passage of Scripture. The passage is written by Paul, and Paul is writing to this church in a town called Thessalonica. And so we have the first epistle to the Thessalonians, a letter to the Thessalonians. And these folks have gotten this letter from Paul. And the whole reason that Paul is writing a lot of this letter is because he's kind of having to go on the defense because of some other things that had happened previously. Now, Paul had been to Thessalonica, and he had been with these people and ministered to them and had shared the gospel and had loved on these people, and he's talking about that in the passage. But one of the other things that he's talking about is he's kind of coming in with a defensive. He's kind of coming in, and he's kind of saying, you know, by the way, while we were there, these are things that we did not do. And it's pretty obvious just from where this book is going and this passage of Scripture is going that there had been false teachers, false prophets to come along and to teach things contrary to the gospel, to use the gospel for their own means even. And so Paul is kind of fighting against that. And I'll be real honest with you, I can identify with this. And any of you that has ever, you know, taught the Bible in any kind of a setting, you know, I hope that you can identify with this too, that our goal is to stay true to God's word, but there are a bunch of people that is not their goal, and that will misuse this, and you can make your own decisions for it yourself based upon what you see on TV and other people, and it's not about preacher bashing or faith bashing or church bashing or any of that kind of stuff, but I will say that it is important that the people that we listen to that teach the Word of God and the people that we read when it comes to Christian books, because by the way, the Christian bookstore has also got stuff in it that I wouldn't recommend as the day is long. And we've got to protect ourselves. We've got to stay true to the Word of God. And Paul was dealing with this. And Paul was kind of writing this part of this letter to just say, hey, by the way, when we came with pure hearts. We were not like those false prophets. And so, you know, I'm just kind of setting this up for you because I want you to see where this is going as we start reading this passage of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5, and it says this. It says, "For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness." Now, right off the bat, he's just saying right off the bat, look, we didn't come trying to pump you up so that we could get something in return. We weren't trying to flatter you. We weren't trying to, you know, puff you up, as we see Scripture even saying, as you know. And that we had no pretext. We had no intention of coming for money. Now, that's the exact opposite of a bunch of people that you see on TV, isn't it? By the way, a very good indicator that you're listening to a false prophet is when, if they end the thing, they say, by the way, everything in your life will be okay today as long as you will just give that money right now. You know what I'm talking about? We don't do that, okay? If you want to read what God has called us to do with the things that he has given us to manage, read Malachi chapter 3. Paul is differentiating himself and the people that were ministering with him as different and as people that were trying to be true with the gospel and true with an intention of loving people for the kingdom of God when he was there. Not there for greed, not there pumping you up trying to get something in return. And he ends it with, God is witness. And he's saying, by saying that, God knows our hearts. He knows that they're pure, and we want you to know that they're pure. Verse 6, it goes on, it says, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. And right there, what he's saying is, we weren't looking to glorify ourselves. We weren't looking to be famous. You know some people like this. We see people like this that, you know, they do things for reasons other than what they say they do. They do things because they want to be famous. They want to make money. There's nothing wrong with obviously making money to be able to take care of your family. And let me be the first to say that Scripture is very clear about how that we should take care of our pastors. And I think that that's worth noting. But not to the point of being greedy, not to the point of the intention of ministry or intention of teaching God's word is for the sole purpose of financial gain. The intention of teaching God's word should always be to further the kingdom of God. Amen. This passage of Scripture, Paul is just trying to make clear. We did not come for our own fame. We did not come for our own glory. And furthermore, he's even pointing out, by the way, we have authority. They have authority, just as leaders have authority. If you're a leader in some way, maybe at your work or maybe in the church or whatever, then you have some authority. You have the ability to help make decisions about things. And Paul's saying, hey, we had authority, but we did not come using that authority as apostles of Christ. We might have asserted our authority. He's saying, we did not do that. And he goes on in the next verse, verse 7, he says, but we proved to be gentle among you. Check this out. As a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. We're going to come back to this. Let's keep going. Verse 8. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. He's saying, because we loved you. By the way, we're doing this because we love you. I'll be honest with you. The call on my life, the call that God has called me to, the whole reason to plant a church was because God has called me to love people. Love him and then love people. Because I love him, I love people. I mean, I can't help. Because I love him, my heart breaks when I see someone say no to God. I can't help it because I love God and he's changed my life and I want that to happen in everyone's lives. And that should be our heart. That should be our purpose in life. If you're looking for a purpose, that's it. That's what we're called to. That's the bottom line. That's the whole thing, the whole kit and caboodle. We can come up with 10,000 different other things of, you know, I've got this job and I've got family and all this. These things are important. They're part of our lives. But the main thing that we're called to do is to love God. And when we love God, we will love people. It's a byproduct of it. He goes on in verse 10. It says, you are uprightly and blamelessly. I'm sorry. You are witnesses, and so is God. How devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. So that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And this morning, that passage of Scripture just is screaming a whole bunch of stuff at us about who we are called to be. And it really just kind of comes down to just a simple word that we've thrown around a bunch. And if you've been at our church any time at all, you've heard us talk about it a lot. And you're probably going, well, I've heard this before. I'm telling you, we all need to hear it again. And it's about love. It's about love. Let me ask you a question. Do you love people? I didn't ask, do you love some people? I asked if you loved people. Do you love people? Not some people. I'm talking about all of them. Do you love them? Because that's the question that's at hand. That's the question that we're called to in this passage of Scripture. You see, Paul is going way out of the way to write a letter that in part of this letter, he's wanting to make very clear, I want you to understand I was there because I was there to teach you the gospel, because I love you, because I love God. And I want you to understand, do not lump me into the false prophets. Do not lump me into the people that are wanting your money, that are saying one thing and doing another. I feel this. I feel like I'm fighting against this in our culture all the time. I was with was yesterday morning. I went to a deal and I met this guy and he was, you know, we were just talking. We're kind of doing like a little business transaction thing, and he said, a friend of mine that was with me said I was on the phone, and he said, oh, he's always on the phone. He's a pastor. Now, I didn't hear the conversation that was being had he was having with my friend, but the guy looked at him and said, oh, well, I'm an atheist. After I got off the phone, my buddy said, hey, you should tell him what you said. And he said, oh, well, I'm an atheist. I said, well, oh, okay. And he said, I'm sorry, but I'm an atheist. I just don't believe. I said, you don't have to be sorry to me. That's okay. I said, I God changed me. You know, and I think for so many moments in our life like that, we have opportunities, and it's hard to know, what do you do with that? What do you say in that moment? You don't want to drive somebody away. But, you know, I know what that guy's thinking. He's thinking he's seen all kinds of people on TV, and he honestly, you know, if he's like a lot of people are, he's probably had some bad experiences with the church. And who hadn't? I mean, that happens. It's full of people. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. At some point, I will let you down. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. We're called to love people. And we're called to stand out. We're called to stand apart from false teachers and false prophets that are using Scripture for their own personal gain. And this morning, in this passage of Scripture, right in the middle, we see this verse in verse 7, and we kind of skipped over it. I want to go back and look at it. It says in verse 7, but we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children, having so fond an affection for you. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. You see that in verse 7, the very beginning of that? We proved to be gentle among you. When was the last time that you thought of yourself as gentle? That's like the manly thing to do today, isn't it? Hey, you been gentle today? I mean, that's like something that belongs in like a Charmin commercial, right? It's not an adjective that we usually want to use to describe ourselves. But we are called to gentleness. In fact, it says, but we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. I want to talk about that. Let's talk about that. I'll knock some stuff off. Let's talk about that. As a nursing mother cares for her children. What's that look like? That's love. That's like the deepest love that we can see humanly possible on this planet, I do believe. I mean, you just think about it. I mean, you know, my wife is a mother. Thank God I'm not. I'm glad that she is. I'm glad that she gets to play that role. She is awesome at it. And she is a nursing mother. She has an understanding of this that, I'll be honest with you, I can't even understand. I see something with her and our girls. And let me tell you what, I love my girls. I love them. But she has something special with them that I could never have just because she's their mom. And I see that with them. And it's such an awesome, awesome thing. And you know, I think about my mom, and I'll be honest with you, I've got a good mom. I know a lot of people, you may be sitting here today, you may be saying, I don't have a good mom situation. My mom was terrible. My mom did this, I don't know. But let me tell you something. The important thing is that when we're reading a scripture like this, that we're taking it in note and taking it in check with understanding of what a godly mother would look like. And a godly mother is the type of mother that what? Would love you as the day is long. Would take you back anytime. I won't take a poll, but I'm sure that there are probably some people in the room that at some point in time, when everything else was bad and there was nowhere else to go, they knew that the one place they could always go back to was where? To mama. You can always go back to mama. We started the church several years ago. I left a full-time paying ministry gig that God had called us to at that point in our life, and God led us to do this, and we moved back to this area, and you know what we did? We moved in with my mama. Mamas will always take you back. Not only will they always take you back, I saw a mama on TV this week that 5 or 6 years after their child was kidnapped, they are still on TV, still waving pictures of their children. They've doing, you know, done the mock-up of what this child probably looks like now and all this stuff, and they're still showing pictures, still saying, I believe my daughter is alive. I believe that she's out there, and I just want her to come home. I just want to love her. I just want to be her mother. Mothers not only will take you back, they will seek to the end of the earth to try to find you if you're gone. That's some love. Paul is making it perfectly clear, that that is the kind of love that he and the apostles felt called to, and it is the kind of love that we are called to. You say, well, Chris, you know, I think I try to do a pretty good job of, you know, accepting people and loving people. Well, I ask you the question again. Do you love people? Do you love everybody? Do you love everybody that God has put in your life? Are there stipulations? If we put you on the greeting team today and we said, hey, we want you to greet everybody that comes through the door, and no matter who they are, or maybe somebody in your life, everybody that's ever been a part of your life, no matter who they are, you've got to love on them and you got to greet them, and it's got to be true in your heart, not fake. Would you have stipulations to that? Or would you say, well, you know, I do this green team thing, but there's a couple of people on my list back here that if I go back and look at, they've done me wrong a couple of times, and if they come in the door, if it's okay, I'm just going to go back and help out in the nursery. That's not what we're called to. You say, Chris, that's hard. I know it's hard. But I didn't say that you had to trust them with the keys to your car. I just said that you need to love them. And I think that that's very important for us this morning. And I think it's very important for us this morning to understand that when Paul is looking at this and he's saying in verse 8, having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. You know, Paul is saying some huge stuff right here. And he's saying, you know, not only did we just try to come and love on you, not only did we try to do that like a mom would a child, but we also just loved you and wanted to share our lives with you. And how much are we willing to do that today? If somebody called us at lunchtime today, and they said, I really need to talk to you. You said, well, you know, it's Mother's Day, and we're spending the afternoon with my mom. You know, I'm kind of busy, but, you know, why don't we talk later? What would you say? Would you push them off? I'm not saying your family's not important. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have them way up there on the priority list. But I'm just saying, how many times do we come up with excuses to not share our lives with other people, when that is absolutely 100% what God has called us to do? God has called us to love. Paul shares in this scripture about the fact that, you know, even working, You know, verse 9, it says, "For if you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day so not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God." You know what he's saying right there? He's saying, by the way, I just want you to understand, I'm just driving home one more time. I'm not one of those guys that's just like, hey, give me your money so that I can teach you Jesus. He's saying, we went out of our way to work at night so that we could share the gospel during the day. I get to see this in real life at 24 Church. This is an amazing thing. I love this passage of scriptures. I've been studying this week. It speaks to me because I see this in our staff. Every one of our staff members has a job because the church can't really pay them full salaries and benefits and all those things. They all have jobs and they work so that they can see the gospel come out through our church. It's an amazing thing. It's a godly thing. And I'll tell you, they all do it because they love people, because they love God. And I see this, and I see what's happening here. And as I was looking at this with a friend of mine this week, and we were studying this passage together, he said to me, he said, you know something about that passage of scripture? I said, what's that? He said, Paul is working at night. I said, okay, yeah, I get it. I do that sometimes. I do that sometimes to help provide for my family. And I said, you know, okay, no biggie. I can identify. He goes, no. Just think about it for a minute. He's like, Paul is working at night. And by the way, Paul's a tent maker. He's making tents. I don't really know what all that looks like, but he's making tents. I don't know if they're like, you know, I'm guessing probably not like circus tents, but I'm guessing they're probably also not like the pop-ups you buy at Walmart now. You know, he's material and probably no sewing machines. You know, he's just, you know, doing it all by him, making tents and selling tents. Imagine that. That's what he did. Paul was doing this at a time when it wasn't like, oh, well, you know, there's a shop in Thessalonica. Well, it's got a big shop. This guy's got a big shop. We can go over there and use that tonight. Let's go do that tonight. No. One of the points that my friend made this week was, you know, you just think about that. He's doing that at night, no electricity. It's not like you just go out and turn on a light. Probably doing it by candle. Probably takes a lot longer to do something like that by candle. And I'm just thinking to myself, man, this Paul went way out of the way to do something like that to what? Love people. Teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm just thinking, what are we willing to do? Are we even remotely willing to go out of our way so that someone can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? We say, oh yeah, well, Chris, yeah, I'll do whatever I want to do. Really, what have you done this week to do that? What have we done this week to share the gospel of Christ? How have we gone way out of our way this week to do that? If you're like me, you've been comfortable and busy this week. And this passage is bringing to light to us a call on our lives to love like a nursing mother would love her children. And this morning, you know, I just posed that question, do you love people? But I follow it up with, do you love people like a mother loves her child? Are you always willing to take someone back? Are you always willing to forgive? Are you in the search for anybody that God has put in your life right now? Are you in the search for people that you don't even know right now that God might give you the opportunity to love on some of those people? Talking with someone this week that helps out with a college ministry. He told me, he said, Chris, he said, you know, kind of a weird deal going on in our college ministry right now. So what's going on? He said, we've got these guys that are legitimately dealing with the subject of being tempted by homosexuality. He says, there's a couple guys, and it's a temptation for them. It's a real deal temptation, and they're really struggling with it. And he said, and honestly, he said, it's kind of a crazy deal. He said, because, you know, we've got a lot of other folks in our college ministry, and, you know, they like to goof off and play around and everything. And one of the things that a lot of the other guys joke around a lot about is homosexuality. He said, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's just kind of still one of those things that still just happens a lot. And I'll throw myself under the bus to say that in the past, I've probably done that too. And, you know, as I was listening to him, he said, you know, what's happening is that these guys are dealing with a sin. They're dealing with this in their life. But at the same time, over here, there's these other guys joking around about it. And he said, it's really kind of working against it when these guys are really trying to overcome this and really seek the Lord in this time in their life. He said, it's become a real problem within the ministry. And he said, I said, what do you think is going to change? And he said, I think they're really just going to have to understand that loving people means that you put others first all the time. And you don't take chances that might drive people away from Christ. I said, I think you're probably right. Last weekend, we had a longtime friend of our church come, someone that used to live here and had to move. He was here last weekend hanging out, coming through. And he brought a student of his with him, young man, probably about 15 years old.